Welcome to Busy Gamer Podcast 65. We publish BusyGamerNews.com, a gaming site for people too busy for gaming sites. And this podcast offers highlights from our site's reviews and feature articles short enough to enjoy during even the shortest commutes.
If you want the week's game releases, comprehensive DLC summaries, and our latest giveaways, visit BusyGamerNews.com. In the podcast, we'll share just our latest gaming adventures in audio form as often as we can.
This episode features our spoiler-free guide to the movie Sucker Punch, Girl Got Games review of the eerily similar Alice Madness Returns, and the sound and fury of Bastion.
Often stray from video games to review movies and other entertainment, but now and again we make an exception for something truly exceptional.
Back in April 2011, I posted an article entitled, "If You Don't Like Sucker Punch, You're Watching It Wrong." This was a subtle jab at the game developers who waved off bad reviews of Hydrophobia, saying that the reviewers had played it incorrectly.
But in the case of Sucker Punch, there is something to the idea that you could be watching it with the wrong preconceptions. You can walk into a film expecting an uplifting action flick featuring a bevy of hotties who kick booty in tight little shorts.
Okay, this is how it's gonna go. Amber will keep the bird on station. Whiny, you'll operate the 50 cal here or the 30 down there.
And get something, completely different.
Don't you get the point of this? It's to turn people on. I get the sexy little schoolgirl. I even get the helpless mental patient, right? That can be hot. What is this? Lobotomized vegetable? How about something a little more commercial?
Warner Brothers clearly had no idea how to market Zack Snyder's not-so-little feminist art film, so moviegoers went with the wrong expectations and left screaming about how terrible it was without considering it on its own terms.
That would be outrageous! That would be crazy, right?
The underlying message is so dark and so disturbing that any enjoyment you might get from the brief moments of titillation,
all that gyrating and moaning,
are quickly undercut by a deeper message that reflects the Kubler-Ross stages of grief and the ugly fallout of sexual abuse.
It's really quite a show watching them act out who touch them or beat them or whatever.
And you will most likely leave feeling, well, sucker punched. It took us two viewings to unravel the majority of the movie's subtext, so we've assembled a spoiler-free guide to getting the most from Sucker Punch.
For those who fight for it, life has a flavor the shelter will never know.
The first time we saw it, I literally felt nauseous, unsettled, and unsure of what I had just seen. It gnawed on us for a couple of weeks until we went to see it again. This time we were really watching the details and unraveled the majority of the movie's subtext.
People underestimate Zack Snyder as a director, mainly because he's adapted comics like 300 and The Watchmen, and existing screenplays such as Dawn of the Dead. Sucker Punch was his first original film, and he did a small disservice by discussing how the subject matter gave him and co-author Steve Shibuya free rein to throw in anything their wild imaginations could concoct. This suggests that things like steampunk Nazis,
German doctors and engineers have worked out how to return their fallen to the front lines. They're using steam power and clockworks to keep them moving,
have no meaning or symbolism in the world of Sucker Punch. But they do.
Don't feel bad about killing them. They're already dead.
We're already dead.
The brothel is how Baby Doll's mind reinterprets the asylum. She sees how the orderly runs the place and abuses the girls who are committed there.
The club's a front for his business. Guns, gambling, medication, special favors.
He brings in his clients, and we gotta make him feel, you know, special.
Once we enter the world of the brothel and Baby Doll's deeper fantasies, the other girls represent fragments of her own personality.
We can deny our angels exist. They can speak through any character we can imagine.
Ever wonder why Blondie is actually a brunette? Yeah, now it's starting to make some sense, isn't it?
Sweet Pea is basically the voice of reason, Baby Doll's conscience.
If it gets too hairy, if I say it's over, we stop.
while Rocket represents her relationship with her own sister.
Have you just ever wanted to just take something back? You know, something you said, something you did, all the time.
The wise man is a trusted friend or relative, probably an uncle who'd no doubt shared his cliched, sometimes coarse little wisdoms every Thanksgiving.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Baby Doll's self-prescribed mission fits with Kubler-Ross's five stages quite neatly.
I'm going to help you to be free. You will need five items for this journey.
Denial.
A map.
Anger.
Then fire.
Bargaining.
A knife.
Depression.
And a key.
You said five things.
The fifth thing is a mystery. It is the reason. It is the goal. It will be a deep sacrifice and a perfect victory.
Acceptance.
Only you can find it, and if you do, it will set you free.
Ultimately, Sucker Punch is not a movie to be enjoyed so much as experienced on an intellectual level. It holds a mirror up to abuse, and it's not a pretty sight.
I'm going to be honest with you. It makes me feel like I'm this little boy sitting in the corner of the sandbox while everybody gets to play with my toys. But me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my toys, and I'm going to go home.
And it's packed with elements of fantasy where the abused gets to say no.
You'll never have me.
The director's cut Blu-ray adds a few scenes that fill in some missing details, but the action scenes are longer, and this is not really a good thing. The action scenes are allegories and revenge fantasies, and making them longer actually deadens their impact and delays you getting back to the real story.
You have no purpose, and we don't keep things here that have no purpose.
Every time I watch Sucker Punch, it's like descending down a very deep rabbit hole. I find new layers to peel back, new hidden meanings to extract. We hope you can, too. Lewis Carroll's trippy Wonderland stories have inspired myriad works of art in every imaginable medium. While the star characters stay the same, Alice, the Cheshire Cat, the Mad Hatter, and of course the White Rabbit, the interpretation of the stories varies wildly. The classic Disney cartoon envisioned Alice as a sort of honorary Disney princess.
Why, in my world, cats and rabbits would reside in fancy little houses and be dressed in shoes and hats and trousers.
Stumbling through adventures, but ultimately returning to reality. Decades later, Disney released a very different version of the Wonderland books directed by Tim Burton.
From the moment I fell down that rabbit hole, I've been told what I must do and who I must be. I've been accused of being Alice and of not being Alice, but this is my dream. I'll decide where it goes from here.
And then there was American McGee's Alice. Released in 2000, this often punishing platformer imagined Wonderland as a decrepit, deteriorating den of violence and vice. Here, Wonderland is all in Alice's imagination, and her descent into madness has created a macabre nightmare world in which familiar faces attempt to stop the madness by killing the source herself.
Only death can release us from this misery.
Alice, Madness Returns, is both a sequel and a reimagining of the original game. It begins in Victorian London. Alice is alone, having lost her entire family to a freak fire set by Alice herself. At least, that's what she's been told. So Alice works with a therapist to try to overcome her feelings of guilt.
Our lovely library was a fire trap. A conflagration waiting to happen.
When things become too much to bear, she sneaks back to Wonderland, only to discover that her instability has once again seeped into her dream world.
Hatter, I recall leaving you in a decrepit condition.
What?
Not in pieces.
It's you. That's what's happened. You should know that better than I. It's your place, after all. I know my place.
The primary source of trouble seems to be a runaway train that periodically plows through levels, breaking up worlds, causing earthquakes, and generally wrecking the place.
I must stop this infernal train and the evil force that drives it.
There's plenty more pain to go around. Freakish tar creatures with multiple doll heads chase you at every turn. Flying screws do surprisingly heavy damage. And even old friends have lost their minds.
The world is upside down, Alice. Inmates run the asylum. No thanks. And worst of all, I'm left tea-less.
Tragic.
It's up to you to put things to right by discovering the truth about that fateful night while battling an increasingly disturbing gallery of rogues based on a mix of Wonderland mythology and Victoriana. Dolls. Why'd it have to be? Dolls. Each level represents one land, which in turn is based on an iconic character or place in the book. What this means in the game is, well, expect to bounce on a lot of mushrooms while searching for the caterpillar, take a swim when you explore the walrus's tail, and so on. Don't think that any familiarity with the books will prepare you for everything this game has to offer.
A bad worker is a dead worker, and vice versa. Don't be a bad worker. Payday for good workers has been postponed indefinitely.
I don't remember that in my copy of the book. The images aren't exactly canon either, but that's where the game really shines. The artwork is incredible. From the design of each unique world to the freakish characters that inhabit them, the Queen of Hearts level in particular is breathtaking. If only I could say the same about gameplay. This is one brutal platformer. Many, many destinations are invisible, revealed only when you shrink. The second you return to normal size to make your move, they begin to dissolve. Expect to hear this a lot. That's the sound of Alice exploding into a bunch of butterflies. The game is merciful enough to resurrect you on the nearest ledge when you take the inevitable plunge. Don't get too comfortable, though. If an enemy takes you down, you will have to start the entire level over. Speaking of starting the level over, I had to do that twice during my run due to game glitches. This is the part where I complain about the save game. As in, there is none. The game works on checkpoints only and gives you just one save game slot. Let me repeat that. One save slot. So if you, say, spent 40 minutes in platforming hell only to have the game crash, you'd reset to your previous save point, which would be at the beginning of that 40 minutes in platforming hell.
Hatter always hated mechanical malfunctions. This disaster is either his doing or his epitaph.
Most games would have lost me right there. The fact that I regrouped, spent a few minutes on an FAQ site figuring out what I was doing wrong, and pressed on, says a lot about Alice. Or maybe I'm the one going mad.
Making friends, Alice. You're as randomly lethal and entirely confused as you ever were. Now hold on, and as they say, shut up.
Hold on and shut up kind of sums up how I feel about this entire game. And yet, I beat it, put it aside, and started it all over again 2 weeks later. I was thrilled to see that all of my upgraded weapons were on hand, making me a badass from the very beginning. Because this time, it's going to be different. I'm going to nail those platforming moves. Call me crazy, but I'm going to find all those elusive secrets. I am going to totally pwn this game. Hey, what's the definition of insanity again?
I dig my hole, you build a wall. I dig my hole, you build a wall. One day that wall is gonna fall.
Bastion is a deceptively deep game and one of those rare gems in the Xbox Live Arcade pantheon. On the surface, it's a light RPG. You awaken, disoriented, with only a husky voice narrating your unsettling discoveries as the world seemingly reforms around your every step.
Now here's a kid whose whole world got all twisted, leaving him stranded on a rock in the sky. He gets up, sets off for the Bastion, where everyone agreed to go in case of trouble. Ground forms up under his feet as it points the way. He don't stop to wonder why.
Depending on the actions you take, the narration may react accordingly. Use your old pal the hammer to smash enough scenery, for instance, and you'll get this.
He sees what's left of the rippling walls, years of work undone in an instant. The kid just rages for a while.
The narrator appears to be patterned after the stranger, voiced by Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski.
Way out west there was this fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of Jeff Lebowski. This Lebowski, he called himself the Dude.
But no matter, he's friendly, personable, and eventually guides you despite being short on words from time to time.
Ain't always much to say.
You make your way to the ruins of the Bastion, a small sanctuary that you struggle to rebuild. Each level provides an element that can restore or upgrade a structure that helps you level up your weapons or add alcoholic enhancements that provide passive benefits to your hero.
Just the occasion to crack open the distillery's private reserve.
Combat is mostly simple melee and projectile weapons with a shield for defense and a wide array of special moves you can learn. No matter your weapon choices and playstyle, the game is rarely too difficult to hold you back for long, but never quite devolves into a mindless hack and slash. Perhaps this is because the story is an engaging and resonant parable on the perils of war and intolerance, but the more likely culprit here is the potent music by Darren Korb. The score and songs are neatly integrated, setting mood to the shattered steampunk world and adding layers of depth that dialogue alone could never deliver.
I see your star, you left it burning for me. Mother, I'm here.
The game isn't perfect, but its tight controls, ease of play, and compelling music and story make Bastion worth a look. Or at least a listen. Even if you don't buy the game, consider buying the excellent soundtrack from Supergiant Games' Bandcamp site. When I finally beat the game, I sat mesmerized, listening to the closing theme for a spell.
On Twitter, we encourage you to follow Game Watcher and Girl Got Game. That's G-R-R-L got game. We often tweet news that isn't big enough to deserve an entry on the site or has a very limited shelf life. We also have a BGN community Twitter list. If you're not on it and want to be, send Game Watcher an at reply.
We also encourage you to join our Busy Gamer News Facebook fan page.
If you use Stitcher Radio, search for Busy Gamer and favorite us there. And if you enjoy the podcast, please like us there too. We're also in Zune Marketplace, and we'd love it if you rate and review us on iTunes.
Some of the music in this podcast came from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio, that's M-E-V-I-O.com. You can find details and links for these and other songs at busygamernews.com/whackpodcast.
So you don't want me to say booty shorts?
Yeah, because I've got kick booty and booty shorts. I don't know. We could do it both ways, maybe.